بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم. After what Brother Damir has just said, I'm completely lost for words, to be honest. I don't think anything I've prepared is really going to be able to convey what I was hoping to do, which was really just to put together some thoughts which have been based on our experience as an organization, as Islamic Human Rights Commission, for you to take away with you and to ponder on. We are recently just putting a newsletter together for Ramadan. It's our annual newsletter, and for that we had to sort of review the year's events and try and sort of summarize them. And I think for me, at any rate, there were two things that really characterized the last year. One of them was extremely good, and that was the very large, incredible way that Muslims have been active in the last year, been demonstrating and doing many, many things which I don't need to tell any of you about, in our thousands and hundreds of thousands and hundreds of. The bad thing, and this goes back to, I think it's over a year ago, is of course what George Bush said straight after September 11th, which is, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Now, I don't particularly care about him, but what has concerned me and us at any rate is that for this last 1 year, as Muslims, we seem to have just been talking like this. We're either good Muslims or bad Muslims, or we're here or we're with this or we're with that. We've completely lost our own way to have a debate or an argument. We have been led by other people, whether it's George Bush, as I'm going to talk a little bit briefly, other organizations, to talk about the issues that face us every day. Now, there's three things that I just really very briefly will just zip over because we don't have much time. Then I want to just talk about really briefly, and please forgive me because I'm not going to go in depth because we don't have time. The first is Muslim nationalism. The second is jumping on bandwagons, and the third is creating an Islamic agenda. Now, the reason I start with Muslim nationalism is that we tend to have an idea as a community that, not everybody, but I've seen this a lot, especially in the last year, that everything Muslim does, we have to forgive it and we have to justify it. Now, there's no doubt that we are a very, very, very oppressed community. We use this figure all the time, 80% of abuse is committed. Human rights abuses around the world are committed against Muslims. But that doesn't mean to say that every time any Muslim does anything or any Muslim does anything that is a good thing, or that we have to feel that we have to justify it. Now, instead of going into details, I just want to see what some of the implications of taking that point of view are of actually always justifying what Muslims do. It limits our thinking, it limits our thinking about the whole world as, you know, us as a Muslim community and then other people. Now, this limits the message of Islam, because if we think about it, the Prophet was sent as a mercy to mankind. Now, another thing that we often hear from other organizations, especially as we talk about da'wah, about enjoying the good and forbidding the evil. Now, again, through this type of work, through the type of activities you do, we have to reach out beyond our own circles of so-called limited Muslim community, and always talking about Muslims only, regardless of what they do, limits that. Now, I think we're very short of time, so I'll go straight to jumping onto bandwagons. As I said, we've been, mashallah, very, very active in the last year, especially in this country. 450,000 people, that's what the official figure that I've seen marched on September 28th, a large amount of the Muslims, against what's going on in Palestine, against what's happening in Iran. It's excellent, it's superb. Scrolling back to about 18 months ago, IHRC started working with an anti-Zionist group called the Turekata, the Orthodox Jewish group. And at the time, I don't know if my colleagues can tell you in more detail, we were absolutely panned by other Muslim groups and organizations and said that we were working with the Jews and this and this and this and this. And that, you know, after some excessively in South Africa in the conference against racism. I think now, alhamdulillah, most people are working with this particular group, but unfortunately, I have to say also with everybody else who's saying anything vaguely sympathetic about the Middle East, you know, peace movements, etc., etc. We all seem to have sort of blindly, in our love and in our desire to do good, followed anybody who's saying anything. Now, my colleague again, he's going to talk about Palestine, we'll talk in more detail, and there'll be workshops about this. The problem with this approach, and I'm sorry, it sounds rather negative, but it's partly because I'm shortening things, is that we tend to shy away from talking about difficult things. When other people are talking about oppression of Palestinians, it's good that we can talk and feel comfortable. One of the things in the last year that we in particular have found to be something that people don't want to talk about, and for us, I suppose it's a good example of everything, it's the way that the prisoners in Cuba in Guantanamo Bay Camp X-Ray were being treated. Now, we did a press release which said that at the time that the news broke that this going on, that this kind of treatment is something that Nazis would have been proud of. We were absolutely inundated with emails. I don't think we've ever had so many complaints saying these are the worst people in the world and they committed the most terrible terrorist acts ever and they don't deserve to be treated this way and that way. And I'm sorry to say that actually quite a few Muslims also emailed and said this to us. Now, excuse me. It goes back to this thing that I said at the beginning, this quote of George Bush's, that we have felt as Muslims that either we have to absolutely condemn everybody who was in Camp X-Ray, or we have to consider them as heroes. We haven't actually realized that we have been debating for 1 year in a debate that's been led by the United States. We haven't actually created our own agenda to talk about the issues, very, very big issues that face us with this particular incident. In a way, it doesn't even matter what you think about the people who were there. There are many, many other things to think about from an Islamic point of view. What is a war? What are the rules of war? What is a prison of war? All these types of things. What is the right way of treating people who are detained? We had, in this terrible event, an opportunity to set or to create an Islamic agenda. When Muslims talk about human rights, there's a sort of always a group of Muslims who say that you're just copying the West, and there's a group of people in the West who say, oh, at last you're catching up with us, you know, and you're actually learning how to, you know, respect people's rights. Well, none of that is true, because if we actually look back at Islamic sources, we know that we can actually set the agenda. We actually have a concept of rights, which is for everyone. You know, I'm not implying that there's somebody who will actually explain that justice is for all. The ayah that I have here, it says very clearly that when you judge between people, you judge with justice, not when you judge between Muslims and everybody else, it doesn't matter. This is Holy Quran, Surah An-Nisa, verse 58. Because again, I'm cutting down, so I'm sorry this is a bit disjointed. Going back to the example of Camp X-Ray and an example of an Islamic source, just to sort of end this presentation. About 6 months ago, we had a conference on Imam Qasim, Ahmed Qasim of South Africa, someone who's on our board of advisors, and I think he's amazing alim. If any of you ever have a chance to read anything he's written or listen to any of his speeches, please make sure you do, because they're quite phenomenal. He spoke about Camp X-Ray, and he said something that stayed in my mind, and I've done a little bit of research since. He said that when Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was struck with a sword while he was praying in the mosque in Kufa, he called out to the people who were apprehending the person who had struck him. Now, he didn't say, oh, get the guy, or, you know, he started talking about his death, or, you know, the fact that he was dying or anything. What he actually said was, do not tie the hands of this man so tight that it hurts him. Now, subsequent to this, because Hazrat Ali died after 2 days, he didn't die straight away. During that period of time, he also sent provisions to the person who had been detained, the person who had struck him in the prison, because he had nothing. Further, he also gave advice to the people who would be trying him that he should be tried fairly, given the benefit of the doubt, and if he was found guilty, then he should be executed in a humane way. There shouldn't be any kind of vengeance taken against him. Now, this was about a man that everybody had seen what he had done. There were so many witnesses, I mean, it was beyond dispute that this man had killed or had struck a fatal blow to this man. What we've been talking about with Camp X-Ray is we none of us know who these people are. In fact, only 2 days ago, it's been announced that 300 or 400 of those people are going to be released because there's no evidence against them. This is something that's been a controversial thing to say in the last year. It's been more unpopular amongst Muslims than it has been amongst Muslims, and it's a bit of a negative note for me to end on, but I hope that this has given him some thought that when we do the activism, whether it's with IHRC or whatever it's with, there is a difference between being a Muslim activist and being an Islamic one.